Hello and welcome to this episode of Divine Downloads Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Overton, and today is going to be way fun because I have an amazing human on my show today that's a little bit different than my typical interview, so I'm super excited. Today on the show, I have Michael Melherick, and he is an amazing human. Let me tell you a little bit about his background. He has worked in the world of decor and design for over 30 years. And after receiving his degree in interior design, he headed into set and stage production, as well as costume design for the entertainment industry. Years later, he continued in retail design and development and held executive positions for billion-dollar luxury fashion and retail brands, as well as five-star diamond luxury resorts throughout the United States. Michael is also the proprietor of MyZen11.com, which is a holistic healing business that focuses on total well-being. Michael has combined his two true loves, design and spirituality, into one workshop. Okay, so welcome to the broadcast, Michael. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited as well. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I mean, we could geek out for hours because I have so many things I want to ask you. I'm very attracted to what you have done. You have combined your two loves, spirituality and design. I think what a brilliant concept. I feel like those are two huge components that I feel like are missing from healthcare. That was definitely something that I experienced. So the cool thing is that you and I met on the old Facebook's machine, for starters, which is so cool. Like, I hardly know you and I feel like I know you because I just allow my energy to find the people that I'm supposed to talk to and gel with and work with. So tell us about your journey. First, I want to hear also, like, this whole thing about set and stage production, like, that really pulls me in as something super fascinating. So tell us a little bit about this journey from, it sounds like, corporate, you know, situation to super creative and then, like, super spiritual.
Yeah, you know, it kind of, there were points where it was more spiritual than others. And there were points where it was more, I think, career driven as well. You know, being in a workplace where, you know, it was working many hours, even in a creative position. So it was interesting because I've always been drawn to something artistic. If it wasn't something like dance, it was interior design or just art in general. And even being out in nature, you know, I always looked at that as art as well. So just really taking in everything that I was, you know, surrounded by, seeing it and just being, you know, present, I think, in a lot of that. And I think I wanted to be a dancer as a kid, like my whole life, I wanted to be a dancer. And it was at the point where my parents weren't really thinking that was a good choice for me. So I really wanted to be a dancer. So eventually went to college for design, interior design. And there was a dance school that was really close to me and in location. And I ended up going there. And it was hysterical because, you know, it was many years ago in the 80s. And aerobics had just started. And there was Reebok, remember Step Aerobics? And someone in my class in first year in college just said, you know, you should come to this class with me. I think it would be really fun. And I said, you know, this is going to be super lame. I have no interest. I have school. This sounds super silly. And I went and had an amazing time. And within months, I was teaching aerobics because I got certified. And then I started dancing. So it was an opportunity for me to do a little bit of dance and have that experience as an adult and putting, you know, myself through design school. And lo and behold, you know, I loved dancing. I finished school and decided to come to Vegas to be a dancer. And, you know, sometimes you jump into things without thinking about them as well. And, you know, I am on the shorter side. And I was even just trying to get auditions in Vegas Well, back then, it was the early 90s, and the shows were very different. So being on the shorter side, there was no way that I was even going to get an audition as a dancer, regardless to my level of talent, which wasn't that great. And so I ended up going, I ended up being here in town, meeting a lot of performers, and then hooking up with a production company and starting to build sets and build costumes for them. So it's just kind of interesting, and then traveled with them for a while. So even though I ended up not being a dancer, I ended up doing something that I loved even more, and that was designing these costumes and sets and all of these things as well. So I had a little bit of experience at the, you know, the dance school that I, you know, resided in for a little bit in Minnesota, but I wasn't gonna stop there. I wanted to design more. And so I worked with production companies, and I traveled around the United States, and I did marketing and advertising, and always kind of reaching out on the spiritual side as well. Like, I would always hear about Reiki, or I'd hear about meditation or yoga. And back then that was rare, but it kept presenting itself to me for some reason. You know, I remember going into Borders books, and going in there and spending a lot of time and just being in the self-help aisle, because I think everyone does that at some point. And these natural healing books, these Reiki books, would just pop out of the shelf at me, and I would read them, and I think they'd be amazing. I'd take them home, and that was it. I never did anything else. So then finally, years later, I had a Reiki session, and that was the beginning of the whole spirituality part for me. And then as I went down that path, I realized that anything that is creative that I've done, it comes from a place and doesn't necessarily come from me. So I kind of dove down that that road, and I thought, if I can create connect to something bigger than me, then how big can I, you know, design, or where can this come from, or, you know, where are there limitations that I can just kind of move through? So after getting a Reiki attunement and really moving into that path, that's when the design stuff really started to kick in, because I could just think of something would be like a challenge, like a project would come to me from a specific job that I was working on, and I would just quiet my mind, and it would just show up. Like, it would manifest. I would have a vision of what it should be, and then everything would just fall into place. So the spirituality of that bigger picture, I just kind of started relying on that for most of the design work, because even though, you know, we do create, it does come from somewhere. So I think all the things that I've created along the way, definitely guided at some point, definitely that connection to something bigger. I mean, look at the planet. You think of creation. I mean, just think of the details on the planet. So this is a small little tidbit of that, tapping into that as a human being and being able to create that way. So I think that's where, you know, designing and moving into retail and designing store spaces or sets, you know, it all comes from that one place. And I've been lucky enough to really be able to focus on tuning into that and using that energy for everything, really.
What an incredible story. Okay, I have so many things I want to unpack.
It went kind of down this weird road. I'm sorry. No, I wasn't no, sure where I was
there
going.
There are no apologies accepted nor necessary on this show. So I just want to, sometimes I get a visual, sometimes I get a word. And when you were talking, what you're so beautifully embodying is allowing, right? Mm-hmm. It's this, mm-hmm. You wanted to be a dancer more than anything. And I was totally getting angel bumps when you were talking about, you know, the dance school and how you shifted. It's like, well, I can teach this, and you're able to get that movement in and get that, like, tap into that vortex of what humans were clearly designed to do, right? Is move, and especially with that creative expression. So I want to call that out, because I think so many humans resist so hard,
right?
To the allowing. And that's why, and another thing that I think you so beautifully have demonstrated with your path is that I think, well, this is my personal experience and what I have known or seen or witnessed. And I think a lot of that comes from being a nurse for 21 years, working with other humans, you know, and spirits, is that in my experience, as soon as we start adulting, and by that I mean paying a mortgage, like doing all the things that adult, having a job, like having kid, whatever it is, responsibilities, basically. It seems like as soon as we start adulting, and if you have any history of trauma of any kind, it doesn't matter if it's emotional, sexual, any of the things, it seems like siphon off, we cut off this access to our higher selves, our connection to source. Does that ring true for you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because we know that most of the tools that we use in everyday life as adults, you know, they're developed from when we're conceived until we're what, 6 or 7. So unless we're doing the work, you know, those are the tools. When I see people arguing, you know, I just automatically think, well, that's what they would do when they were 7. Like they just haven't grown out of it. So yeah, holding on to anything, especially trauma as children, I don't know many children that haven't experienced something. We've all had something. And that trauma can shut it down. Everything.
I totally agree. I was trying to, I was overcoming this limiting belief of, I literally had this was the actual statement, Michael, was I don't have a creative bone in my body. And I'm like, who says crap like that? That's the dumbest thing I ever. And so literally I'm walking at my favorite lake in Minneapolis, Lake Harriet. People that follow me, they see my pictures all the time. And, I literally got this channeled message that said, you got to do this card deck. And I was like, excuse me. So in this whole experience, what I came to realize was that, oh my gosh, this is the thing that's happening for people, because adults don't typically create from this space of curiosity and fun and play. It's like nose to the grindstone. We got to, you know, produce a widget and we got to blah, blah, blah. You got to meet the metrics. So that's why once I figured that out, I was like, whoa. Okay. We got to talk about this. So I think, it sounds like you have had a similar experience, and why I think I'm so obsessed with design. So let's talk a little bit about how, everything is energy, right? And everything from the food you eat to your workspace, hello, and your laptop. Yeah. So can you talk about this whole concept that's become very in vogue, obviously, like in the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 years, about the minimalist movement, decluttering, how your external environment is really a reflection of your inner environment, your landscape. You want to speak to that at all?
Sure. You know, the one word that just sticks out so much is the word clutter. And you know, when I'm working in a space, or gosh, I'm even in my own bedroom or wherever I'm at, if there's any type of clutter, it's a, first of all, a distraction, because I'm a Capricorn, right? So I can't allow it. But I look at it, and then it's something for me to tackle. So if I see clutter, a pile of books or something that needs to be put away, or a project that I'm working on, there's an energy about it. And the energy is more stifling and prevents us from moving forward or even towards it more than we actually can see or really feel, unless we're tuning into it, because the, you know, there's energy of chaos or confusion or unorganization, or, you know, so that pile of books or notebooks or whatever it is sitting on the desk or in the corner or wherever, it can be a junk drawer, honestly, in a kitchen, that holds energy. And regardless to what's even in the drawer, you know, there's energy there. So there's no flow, possibly. So when, you know, working in feng shui or working, or just even walking into a space, If you can easily tune into the energy of the space. Some people walk into a certain home and say, oh, I don't like it there. Like, I just don't feel good there. Once you really start tuning into that, you know, you pick up on different things everywhere you go. And, you know, it can be in a grocery store, but, you know, when you look at energy, maybe it's, you know, specific food that you shouldn't be eating at a different time, and it's gonna, you know, at a specific time, you're gonna feel that energy. So, you know, walking into a space, you know, if it's a new space or even a mall for me or a grocery store, I kind of imagine that I'm zipping up and protecting my energy. Just so if there's things I'm coming in contact with, that it doesn't affect me in any way. You know, looking at feng shui, you know, even specific colors hold a vibration or frequency. And, you know, I think a lot of it is belief. And, but when you believe in something, it does become powerful and the intent behind it. So, you know, easy things like broken mirrors, you know, if you're looking at things energetically to shift in your home. I worked with someone before and they had dead plants in their, you know, abundance corner, the area in the home, which, you know, feeds abundance if you, you know, set the intention. And, you know, they were having financial issues and they had dead plants in that corner. Well, definitely you are creating regardless. So even if they were doing it by default, they were still doing it. So energetically, I think the less we can have to paralyze our attention or focus, the better. I mean, so many people have been, you know, downsizing, or there's I don't know her name, but there was a show and it was Tidy Up or Tidy Something. And I knew I couldn't watch it because I would binge watch every episode she's ever had, but it was tidy, you know, going into your homes and just tidying up and changing it energetically. And these people, what I've heard is like had a complete different lifestyle change. They started, you know, changing the way they were eating and what they were putting in their body and how they worked out or how they didn't. And, you know, so there's so much accountability just in caring where we live, you know, that the four walls that surround us.
Was it Marie Kondo? Marie Kondo?
I think so.
Yeah. She wrote the Art and Magic of Tidying Up.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I so get what you're talking about. And I know people are like nodding their heads yes, because everybody I know has had that experience, Michael, where I call it the JIC, the just in case dress or the just in case jeans. Like, they're hanging in your closet. They've been there for like 15 years. You're never going to wear it. And the second that you release that to the universe, something epic falls onto your path.
Yes.
Every time. It's, so I'm like, oh, I wonder what's going to come on the other side of getting rid of this, all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it becomes almost addicting because it feels so good to get rid of something. Like, the body feels it, like, it feels lighter the more we can get rid of. And yeah, and then filling the space, if we do decide to buy something, it really means something. It's just not stuff I think we're filling our space with. It's something that we really care to bring into our home because we're a little bit more, I think, conscious or just aware, I guess.
I totally love that. I actually just had that experience where we turned one of our rooms into I call it my healing oasis. And I wanted it to be super decluttered and I wanted to have certain elements in it. I'm all into the archetypes and all the elements and everything in nature. And it's like I was on a mission and the intention to get very specific things. And it's like, I would go to these specific stores and, for example, I went to my favorite crystal shop and I had very specific intentions. And of course, because I follow my energy, the thing that I was intending to get was not actually what I ended up walking out with. And it was like, it was such a cool experience. Like when we allow and we're open to, like you were saying, like you can pick up the energy if you're attuned to it. And would you be able to give us some, like, let's say people are listening, whether they're a nurse or maybe they work in corporate or wherever, some things that elements that they could bring into, even if it's just a small space to help with the energy, the flow, the feng shui, that are like no-brainers? Like, I'm sure plants is up there somewhere.
Yeah, I think, you know, even if it's a small space, something that is, you know, depending on the space again, but plants are always great. One thing that, you know, if we want to have plants that bring life and abundance, and, you know, jade plants and succulents are great. You know, they do say to be careful with, you know, plants that have very sharp edges. Just the representation, it's not great for abundance or money. Now, if I think it depends on the belief as well, but I'm not going to say no to that. You know, so in my abundance corner, you know, I have healthy, I make sure the leaves are always healthy and it's watered. And, you know, every time I water the plants, I maybe, you know, say a little intention, or I talk to them, or, you know, I thank them for being here and, you know, connecting that way, because that energy is super powerful. But even in a small space, you know, you could have something that, you know, even little chimes or little stones, or just something that helps every time you see it, it brings your focus back to a place of being present. And then when we're present in that space, our frequency, right, our vibration lifts and gets higher, so we feel better. And then we change the whole, depending on how we walked into the space, we're changing the whole space energetically as well. So just even seeing something that we love, or taking that time to, you know, maybe it's lighting a candle, or just grabbing a peace stone or a meditation stone or something that we love, and just hold on to it for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, and just breathe. We've completely changed our whole frequency, our whole body, our hormones, our just the way our body is feeling. We become relaxed, and then we change the whole atmosphere. We changed, you know, the whole frequency of the room, and then that keeps spreading out. So even these little things that are just reminders, it could be anything. I think, you know, I have a few things at my desk at work that, you know, there are a couple of my favorite little stones, and then, you know, toys or something someone's given me. But every time I see them, it changes the frequency of the room, because I know it lifts my vibration, because it just makes me happy or giggle, or, you know, if it's a silly toy, of course, it's probably a unicorn or something that someone's given me at work, but it can change the whole frequency of how you feel and where you're going for the rest of the day. So you can really do it with anything.
I'm over here, like, my posture has totally changed. I'm all like, oh, I'm just so relaxed. I'm just listening. Okay. I feel like my energy is shifting. Oh my gosh. Okay. So wait, this is so, wait, something came up and I wanted to, oh yeah. So to me, what you're describing is like creating what I call sacred space, or like anchors. Like a visual anchor, right? Where we're so busy, 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 busy. And if we, even if we just have like a little altar, you could call it, or like something on the top of your chest of drawers, or even like on a mantle of a fireplace, you know, having some sacred, it could be a photograph or like a figurine or something. I'm obsessed with Buddhas, and God bless my son. When he was reading about the, studying about all the different religions, he's like, yeah, I think my mom's a Buddhist. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I take that as the highest compliment. I was like, he's like, well, you have all these figurines. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. Like, you know, to associate. But there's a perfect example. Like, he notices that. Like, that gets into his field, and he's like, oh, okay, she's got these things. But I love what you're saying, and I think it's so true. I'm just thinking of a nurse, of course, for example. Nurses, God bless us, right? We walk into all kinds of crap shows, and you know, the energy can be everything from, you know, on the ceiling to really sullen or tragic or sad or whatever. What would you recommend for something nurses could like carry on their person to, you know, to help anchor or keep them present, like when they touch it in their pocket or?
Yeah, and I've always done this, and I probably always will. I like to have little gemstones and different stones that I carry in my pockets. And, you know, it's one of those things, I've been doing this a while now, so can't go into a gem store without supporting them, right? So you're leaving, of course, we always have the excuse, oh, something called out to me and I had to have it, you know, which sometimes it does, and then sometimes we just, you know, want things. So I keep, you know, if it's something that I love, if it's rose quartz or onyx or whatever, I just kind of play around. But I keep stones in my pockets. And it just is a reminder throughout the day, or if I'm feeling a little bit stressed, and I do wear a couple necklaces here and there as well. If I'm feeling the contrast, I'm just able to recognize it as quickly as I can now. Sometimes it can be like 10 seconds, when before it used to be like years, and then months. But now I seem to recognize the contrast or something that's just not going in my favor, and which it's fine, but I'm noticing as contrast. And sometimes I just automatically reach into my pocket and I'll just grab something, and I just become present and focus on it. And then, so having like a touchstone, or, you know, I carry a rose quartz around with me quite a bit, and rose quartz is for the heart, you know, so if maybe I'm not being as loving to myself as I could be, because obviously if I'm feeling a little anxiety or contrast, I've somehow disconnected from that, whatever, that source energy or whatever, which is fine. So I honor and say, wow, I kind of got myself into a little bit of a mess right now and I'm not feeling so great, but I'm going to honor it. And then it gives it less energy, starts to dissolve a little bit. And I'm just going to allow myself to work through it. And then I'll have this stone in my hand. And it just seems like it's a tool that, because, you know, it's a living thing. It just kind of helps shift. Plus, if I'm feeling great and I remember that it's in my pocket and touch it, then I give, you know, gratitude and think, wow, I don't really have to grab onto the stone and pray for my life. No, I just grab it and send gratitude. Like, you know, it's a great day. Or so it's constantly putting myself in a position as much as I can to be present. Because if you're present, there's nothing that you can't handle. You know, it's when we're not present and then we're in the land of stress or anxiety or whatever, you know, the cortisol is running through and our brain shuts down. So it's like getting ahead of it almost. And so I would say little stones or something, a little keepsake, that's just that reminder that just everything's fine, and to become present, and then everything starts to shift.
I love that. I mean, basically, it's a way to ground, right? People always use this term, and that just really means getting from above the clavicle down, like, you know, you were mentioning the rose quartz, the heart space, and really like paying attention to the bottoms of the feet can help us anchor us in our bodies and feel more grounded. And like you said, exactly, Michael, when we're present, we're able to get through things a lot easier than if we're like, oh my gosh, remember that time last week, or next week I got this. The way, yeah, the mind, and I think that's a great tool. But I want to go back to, I love this word that you use, and some people may or may not know what it means, but let's talk a little bit about what you mean by contrast. I love this term. It's so epic.
Contrast.
Yeah.
That's a word that came through once, because all the other words were not really pretty. And I didn't need anyone hearing me yell the words that were coming out. And I'm like, this energy, I'm like, blah, 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 this and that, and the other thing. And then after I was done having my, you know, somewhat tantrum with myself, I just thought, okay, what is all of that? What is it? And I'm like, oh, all it is something that's going to push me from A to B. So it's contrast. So anything where I'm not feeling well, maybe I'm feeling physically sick or emotionally off or whatever, I look at that as, because it's energy, just like, you know, we feel love and peace and calm, we also feel anxiety and depression and confusion. So I look at it, I kind of stage it as energy, and it's a contrasting energy. The contrast is not allowing me to feel as good as I can. So I'm going to let it push me into a place that's feeling better. So if I just dissect this contrast and say, okay, so I'm tired today. Why am I tired? Okay, well, maybe not focus on the tired. I'm going to focus on the contrast. What am I dragging my feet on that's keeping me feeling like I'm tired? So I'll dive in a little bit and try to look for whatever that energy is that's kind of the bottom of the energy that's contrasting, and just look at it that way. And then it just, it's so crazy. It just starts to, as we look at stuff, it starts to dissolve or it starts to make a little bit more sense. So we can kind of move into a place of resolution with it. But anything I don't really care for, I just say it's contrast because it doesn't feel so weighted. It doesn't feel like, you know, hate or anger, or it doesn't feel, it doesn't have the power that those other words I feel can carry. So I just say, oh, it's contrast. And then it just almost becomes nonchalant, even though it's there, becomes less empowered, I think.
I love this so much. This is a really simple tool. I first heard this from Esther and Jerry Hicks. They talk about the contrast and the moment when we feel like we're wanting something that we don't have. We create this contrast of, you know, like you're saying, we feel worse than we'd like to feel. And I'm a visual person. So to me, I kind of like the visual of a ladder or even a trapeze. Speaking of Vegas, like, you know, in order to go up the ladder, we have to take our foot off of the step that we're on to be able to put our foot on the next rung. And so it's like to be able to transcend the contrast, we have to acknowledge it, right? We have to acknowledge in yoga, we used to say, you know, show up and suck. Like you got to acknowledge the suck or the contrast or the thing that's making you feel like, ugh, meh. Yeah. And so, you know, and I've heard also, you know, you got to feel it to heal it. And I think what you're talking about is great because you're not sweeping crap under the rug. You're acknowledging it. And then you're allowing yourself to move the energy from a little bit ickier to a little bit higher frequency. And I think that's such a great tool. Thank you for sharing that pro tip, Michael. I love that.
Oh, well, thanks. If anyone can use it, it's, you know, I'm more than happy to share because it really has put me in some positions that I could have created a worse situation, but then instead of, you know, just knowing what I'm doing, being conscious, saying, you know, it was a lesser blow probably of a punch in the face from a contrasting energetic experience. Like you soften the blow when you don't give it that much energy.
So, I couldn't agree more. I use the word interesting. That's my contrast word. I go, oh, if I, let's say I see something on social media and I get this like gut sucker punch, like that triggers something in me that makes me feel contrast or less than or whatever. I go, oh, that's interesting. I wonder, I'm just going to look at that for a minute. I'm going to let that marinate for a minute. And then, like you say, moving into a way that makes you feel better. And the whole thing about all this, right? It's just, it's all it is awareness. You know, yes. Being aware, oh, it looks like I have this one pattern where whatever it is, I see this one thing or I'm with this one person or I do this one thing. It's like this tape repeats and it's like, oh, well, if I can interject and I can go, oh, you know what? Last time I got into this situation, this is what happened. I want to have a different outcome. So I'm going to shift my energy. I'm going to shift my whatever. It is doable. It's just a journey, right? It's a process.
Yep. And I think sometimes it's okay to stomp your feet. And, you know, it's okay for us to act maybe out of how we feel we should, because it's energy and, you know, maybe that's how it wants to be expressed, you know, as long as we're not hurting anyone.
Amen. Well, and don't you think that's why so many people are walking around? They have so many repressed, suppressed things that didn't get to be expressed the way that it was really called to be expressed. So I think you're absolutely right. Because, yeah, it's just so liberating.
Yeah. And, yeah, we have to do whatever we got to do. And then also, you know, doing that and being aware of me doing that allows me to observe others and then not judge them for acting out in certain ways.
Because, hallelujah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I almost just went there. Like I catch myself now and then immediately understanding that they're going through whatever it is they need to. And the last thing I should be doing is feeding it. You know, just imagine that they're handling it as best they can. And maybe try not to stare, but you know, we have to, we are here to hold space for others as we hold our own space, I think too. So, hey, that's all we can do in a day. It's okay.
I'm telling you, if more people were this evolved, Michael, you know, they, the world would be a better place. I think that's so awesome. You know, the way that you're witnessing people, and yeah, the last thing that we need to be doing is judging other people. Because essentially we're just judging ourselves when we do that, right?
Yeah.
Now I want to bring up this Reiki, this thing that you mentioned, attunement earlier. Maybe there's someone listening that has never even heard of what the heck is you talking about, Reiki and leaves, or what? Tell us a little bit about what that is and how it might help somebody.
Reiki. So Reiki's been around for a very long time. Originally, it made its way from Japan. Reiki is a hands-on, or it can be above the body, hands-on holistic healing modality. The focus is energy. The focus is bringing ease and calmness to the energetic body. So someone that is a Reiki practitioner, you can be, you know, different levels, different degrees, or you can, you know, move up to Reiki master teacher, which is what I do. But it's also just that level means that I can attune others to the Reiki energy. So Reiki means universal life energy, from Japan originally. And it's almost like an art form to me. It's really understanding energy, alpha waves, and what it can do to the body, how it can heal the body, how it can calm the mind, you know, just by focus. And, you know, it is a sacred act. So when you get attuned or you get your degree, you know, you go for a weekend or for a week and you work with a Reiki master, and there's different levels. So, you know, you learn about the functions of Reiki and how it can heal yourself. You can work on plants and animals, and you can do it long distance. So as you graduate and move up into different degrees of Reiki, then you just get more attunements. And it just builds upon that. But it's interesting because I think Reiki, you know, when people talk about, you know, blessing their food or their water, or, you know, blessing things, it's the same as Reiki for me. You know, before I have a meal, you know, I'll put my hands over my food or under the table or grab a glass of water or whatever, and just give, you know, gratitude. And I'll say, I'm giving it Reiki energy. But what you're doing is you're really connecting with the food. You're being present in that environment. I mean, there's so many scientific experiments that have been done on, you know, changing food. If you, you know, pray over it or pray to a plant and watching it grow differently, or even, you know, praying or using positive or negative words on water, freezing it, and then seeing the results from the water freezing in an instant. Like, there's so many vibrations and ways to use Reiki, I think. So it's been around, like I said, for thousands of years. And it's slowly making its way into different churches and hospitals, because it's really an easy, holistic way of working with the energetic body, working with the emotions, and helping people feel better in the most gentle way possible, I think. And that's why I started doing it, is because, well, really, I think it called to me, because I kept buying all these books and then not moving forward until it was time to get my attunements. And I knew it was the right time then. But it's definitely a conscious energy. Like, you, as a practitioner, I feel it. I feel it move through my hands. And a lot of responsibility, I feel, comes with it. So the intentions, who you're working with, and setting the intentions before any healing session with me, and just being really clear on what it is we want to do, amplifies that. And it's so funny, because I do a couple other healing modalities, and it's not like a switch, you just turn it on and off. You know, you can summon the energy or whatnot, but I always say they're getting like a 2-for-1, because if I'm doing XX consciousness or another type of healing modality, the Reiki will kick in regardless. So if I'm running somebody's bars or working on, you know, some brain patterns or different things, the Reiki energy will kick on. My hands get really warm with it. So it has a life of its own, and it will do what it really, whatever is needed. If, even if as a practitioner, I don't feel like I'm working with Reiki, it will kick on all by itself.
That's so beautiful. Thank you so much for that lovely description for people who have never heard of that. Wouldn't that be something if we could do this in schools?
Oh, it would be amazing. Like during detention, you know, yeah. Just having teaching. I've worked with kids, and it's natural for them to create, you know, chi energy be, you know, in their hands. It's the same thing. It's the same exact thing.
It would be so, yeah. I mean, mindfulness, yoga, all the things that should be taught. Well, in some places it is taught in like kindergarten and stuff, which is amazing. So amazing. Okay. I could talk to you for freaking hours about all these things because they're just so healing. And let us talk about what you're up to now in terms of your, what you're offering and how, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay. So just like I think as I evolve on my spiritual path, the things that I offer also kind of evolve and kind of take it on a life of their own. So the one thing that I love is it's called Minecraft workshops. And two things, I don't know why, it just kind of popped in my brain one day to think of this class. And actually I said out loud, why am I not teaching art? Like is what I did. And then this whole thing came after that. So it's a class that I do about once a month, and it's Minecraft workshop. So what it is I'll pick a subject and I'll have a class of people that will come in and we'll talk about something that is top of mind. So we talked about abundance and energetic plants in a home. So I did a little spiel. We talked about what plants mean, and I had a bunch of succulents, and we talked about that. And then we did a group meditation, and then we got into that space of creativity, because that's what that is. So when we get into a place of meditation, we are instant creators and aware of that. And then I have all these supplies, and I had different succulent plants. So and different types of jars and containers and rocks and all these things. So after we have this experience of a mindful talk of a subject, we build these little, we have an art class and build these little projects, and that's something they take home with them. So, you know, if it's abundance, putting something like this in their corner and, you know, in their home or their sacred space or altar. And then every time, we kind of talked about it before, they use this as a focus or see this object, they have an opportunity to raise their vibration and consciousness. You know, one of the next projects is the I Am Presence, and it's just saying who we are. I am, and you know, what are we? I am, we choose words every day. I am tired. Nope, I am healthy. Like we pick very specific words, and it's really to change the mindset. So I've created a project that we're going to work on, but it's really tapping into self-worth, self-care, self-love, compassion, lack of, you know, judging ourselves. That will be the subject. I'm making a project that we'll do as a group. That's something they can take home that will remind them who they are and who they are in their awareness. So that's something that I'm doing once a month, which is really a lot of fun. And then some meditation, some healing meditations, which, you know, we go in deep. I do a little bit of sound healing, singing bowls and tuning forks, guided meditation. We talk about DNA. We talk about, you know, emotional trauma, cellular trauma. And we go in and we, you know, we heal the body on all different levels. And so that's something that I'm focused on. And then I do some channeled readings as well. I do different cards. And it's really validation for people to see where they are and where they're going. And, you know, I don't really say I'm psychic, but, you know, these messages come through for people by them. You know, I'm just the speaker. So whatever they're supposed to get from these, you know, almost counseling sessions in a sense, is validation and clarity and how to move forward. And then we do a little bit of healing, and, you know, I give a little bit of homework with those sessions as well. And it's not really life coaching as much as it's just a soft little validation to help people move forward.
Well, dang it. Well, I wish you were so far away, because I'm like, sign me up for that workshop right now. You need to come back to Minnesota.
I know. It has to be warmer. That was my agreement.
How about August? That's about the only time. Oh my gosh. Okay. How can people find out what you're up to? Give us all the deets.
So my website, which will be going through some changes here soon, is myzen11.com. So it's myzen, myzen11.com. So website. And then of course I'm on Facebook and Instagram, myzen11, everything will pop up. And then, easy contact me through email, michael@myzen11.com. And then any questions or, anything that I can help with, just send me an email and we can go from there.
Wonderful. I really wish we lived closer. And it's so cool that we met on the Facebooks through our mutual friend, Rob Hillman.
Yes.
Amazing nurse and rock star. I feel like it's been a combination of a feng shui session, like a counseling session, an energy healing, mindfulness. So it was so rich with so many things. So thank you for sharing all of your wisdom and of course your energy.
Oh, well, thank you. I am so happy to be here. When you reached out to me, I was driving and I had to set my phone down and wait to see your question about and the information about this, because of course my instinct was to look right away and I'm like, just pull over. You can wait a few minutes. So yeah, I was super excited. I couldn't wait to connect and be able to do stuff with you.
Yes. I feel like we're going to meet face to face sometime in 2020, or maybe, yeah, for sure. I could just see that. So any final wisdom bits, Michael Truth Bombs, you want to leave our listeners with tonight, or today rather?
I have been hearing from a lot of people, and also, especially right now, a lot of people coming out of their dark night of their soul. If you don't know what that is, it's just been, a tough time for quite a few people. Well, we're on the upswing of that. Depending on your astrological sign or any of those things, we are on the upswing out of all of that. So it's really warrior status for a lot of people that, have been sick or have lost their, just a lot of things. So I'm seeing that now that people are kind of coming out of that. So it's really staying the course and constantly being okay with whatever is happening, but knowing that there's something just a little bit further out that feels better. So just knowing that that's there and doing the things that you love to bring you there. Maybe it's throwing on meditation or your favorite song or watching a favorite show or whatever it is, but never stop reaching, because there's always something right there, right at your fingertips. There will always, the universe makes sure that there's something there every time you reach. So that's from experience.
Oh, I just got major angel bumps. That's so good. Yes. The ascension, the grids, everything is on the up and up. So thank you for that, that hope. Listen, we need all the hope we can get, honest to Peter, Paul, and Mary. I mean, for crying out loud. So thank you for that. Oh my gosh. Well, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much, Michael. I'm sure you're going to be getting some people knocking on your door, and you have so much to offer. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. I am honored. Thank you. Thank you. That was fun.
Of course. And I want to thank my listeners. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. And I really want to thank you for listening, because I know you could, you have lots of things you could be doing. So thanks for letting me get in between your ears. And I hope to continue to produce really rich, awesome content that helps you up your vibes. And so remember that you are fully supported, even and especially in the times that you don't feel you are. And just keep taking baby steps one after another. Until next time, take care. Bye-bye.